Welcome to CYC Podcast Discussions on Child and Youth Care, episode number 135. I'm Wolfgang Vachon. This week is the third in our uploads from the 20th Canadian National Child and Youth Care Conference held in Vancouver, British Columbia this past May. Today's presentation is by three people and a very quiet infant. The presenters are Kelly Shaw, Jenny Oliver, and Ocean Wyatt. Jenny and Ocean are actually from Nain, Labrador, and I encourage you to Google Map and find out where that is. N-A-I-N, Labrador. It's far from me. The intro you'll hear is by Charlotte Serpa, who starts by speaking a little bit about last week's presentation by Joe Blake. I hope you enjoy this week's episode.
Thanks so much, Joey. So one interesting thing that Joe just mentioned was about how Education Day isn't just for people of privilege who have come from wealthy institutions that can afford to get funding to come here. And when we were doing the planning for the day, we actually changed the name from Educators Day to Education Day intentionally so that we can start to kind of move forward this agenda of making it a more inclusive place to be that has voices from all the people that are involved in CYC education and not just the educators. Anywho, okay, so our next person is Kelly Shaw, and she is also has two students with her, and they're up next. You're going to introduce the students, right?
Out of range. That's funny, kind of interesting, isn't it? Good morning, everyone. This is
my name, Jenny Oliver from Nain.
And I'm Ocean Wyatt from Nain.
And baby Haley. So initially, get all of my implementations ready to go here. So I would like to start actually offering my gratitude, as Mark mentioned earlier, that we're able to gather today on the traditional and unceded territory of the Musqueam people. I come from Mi'kma'ki, the ancestral and unceded territory of the Mi'kmaq people, and I spend time working in traditional territory of the Inuit. I wear the skin of my ancestors and speak only the language of colonization. When I was approached to spend 10 minutes talking about child and youth care education on the East Coast, I was like, oh yeah, sure, that's great. A 10-minute presentation is really tricky. And I spent a lot of time trying to put this together. And then at the last minute, Jenny and Ocean were offered the opportunity to be funded to come to conference as well. So then we rejigged things again. So, I am on the faculty at the Nova Scotia Community College. The community college is a board-governed institution. We're a multi-campus college, 13 campuses across the province that's known as Nova Scotia. It is said that 90% of Nova Scotians live within commuting distance of one of 13 campuses across our province. And actually should say 90%, so 90% of Nova Scotians and 90% of our students. Not these two. The mandate of the college is building Nova Scotia's economy and quality of life through education and innovation. We're a board-governed institution, but we're really the training arm of the provincial government. So the next logical piece of context would be to share that I sometimes work in Nova Scotia. Sometimes. Perhaps less logical is that the other element of my practice context as a child and youth care educator, pre-service child and youth care educator, is that I work in the Nunatsiavut region, which is the Labrador Inuit land claim and settlement area in the province of Newfoundland and Labrador. So I'm going to scratch the surface over the next few slides of a project that we've been working on over the last year or so in remote eastern Canada. In the winter of 2017, we were contracted, the NSCC was contracted to deliver the Child and Youth Care Diploma to a group of individuals who are employed in a variety of capacities within the Nunatsiavut government. They work with youth and families in education and in foster care. All of the folks who are in the program have attended a post-secondary education program previously, which took place outside of the region. I want to be really clear that I don't have answers. I've had experiences, and I've encountered a lot of institutional challenge. I am here looking for some guidance, so that's why I want to share some of my story. And I feel like if I don't tell you what I have done, and probably lots of what I have done, y'all would be going, oh, I don't know if that's what I would have done. I need to know that. And if I don't share with you what I did that might make you scratch your head, then no one can offer input to support me to maybe do something different. So, and talk a little bit about the complexities of our program delivery. So at NSCC, as I think is probably true for a number of institutions, all of our courses are in a learning manager, a place on the interweb where courses live. Whether it's a face-to-face course or a blended course or 100% online, everything has to be in Brightspace D2L. And I don't know if you know how much bandwidth it takes to use Brightspace D2L, but it's a lot. And when you are in remote communities and you have not great internet, if you have internet at all, it's a significant challenge. So I load my stuff into Brightspace and I put the grades in Brightspace and we use Facebook. Because for whatever reason, Facebook is easy. We use Facebook Messenger. That's our primary form of communication. When we started the project and we were like pitching the project, we thought we'd do video conference and we'd have all of these things that just aren't a thing when you are in remote Canada. So we've been creative around that. The other piece that has been somewhat challenging is around risk assessment. So I value the need to ensure individual and institutional safety. I actually was thinking when you were mentioning about tents in the parking lot, but it's become very clear that our institutional risk management policies don't understand the North or the importance of the land to the Inuit learners that I'm working with. So I've had a number of hypothetical conversations, because if I had a real conversation about something that may or may not have happened, I would probably end up. I engage in what I consider to be reflective noncompliance around some of the policies. Curious, thank you. Or maybe it's a policy workaround. Maybe I'm just being a little bit creative with things. So anything that we do that's land-based isn't actually a class activity. We're just all going to end up in the same place at the same time and share an experience together. Because if it's a class activity, then I have to risk it. And I guarantee you that my institution would not allow us to be on a snowmobile on the ice in the middle of... When I took my last trip, I went to Nain, which is the community that Jenny and Ocean are from, and I took a manager with me. It was great. It was great, really. And I'm telling the story, and I'm taking a little bit of liberty in the story, and she knows that I'm doing it. But we were headed out, so this picture on the... Sure. With all of the skidoos. So we're on the ice, and we were in class, sitting in class, and all of a sudden, the girls started getting up and putting on their gear because the Canes Quest participants were arriving in Nain. So Canes Quest is the world's largest snowmobile endurance race that takes place through Labrador. And we were quite privileged to be able to be in town during the arrival of these folks, but it meant that we didn't have a hotel room. So that caused problem solved. But anyway, because so many people were coming into town and they had booked all the hotel rooms, they actually bumped us out of our hotel rooms. So Canes Quest is like really big deal. So we're headed down And Anne, the manager in the white coat on the back of the Skidoo, we're following everybody else on their machines, and we're headed down, and Anne leans forward and says, "We're not going on the ice." And I was like, "Well, then you're getting off." Because we're going on the ice, like that's where the, and then, so then we're out there, and she was like, "No, no, I'm not getting off." So then we're out there, and she was like, "Well, where's the ice?" And I'm like, see that? That's the dock. Like, when your nephew comes in on the Coast Guard ship, that's where he puts his... No. Yeah. We can't go on the ice. And it's a whole list of things. So that's just one example. So the other piece of complexity that has been in my face lots is the diploma that I've been contracted to deliver. It's the Nova Scotia diploma. I have to maintain the integrity of that diploma, and yet there are many layers of irrelevance that aren't. Doesn't matter. And a student, like practitioners in Newfoundland and Labrador, don't need to have an in-depth understanding of Nova Scotia child abuse protocols. That isn't a thing. But that's written into our curriculum because we are the training arm of the provincial government, and in Nova Scotia, that's important. I've often said that I have all the ingredients to bake a chocolate cake, and I have to have a chocolate cake at the end of this diploma. However, we've decided that our chocolate cake is going to look a bit like Benutziak, and we'll add some cloudberry jam. Okay. I lost my clicker. Education systems... implicitly and explicitly replicate worldview. It's imperative that we interrogate our curriculum. You've heard that from folks before me today. And our delivery, to recognize what cultures and perspectives are represented and why. Child and youth care has a troubling journey, history. And as pre-service educators, we have a responsibility to ensure we're bringing multiple perspectives, roles, and worldviews into our classrooms. Our foundational texts and are written from a primarily Western worldview, and we need to ensure that we're interrogating that. We need to position to ensure that there's cultural translation. This image, I often call this image smart and not so smart, because not having goggles on was not so smart. So this image is representative of a number of exchanges that we've had and the generosity of the group of women who I get to spend time with in teaching me to be the best I can be when it's minus 45, teaching me to drive a skidoo, make Benutziak, that fish don't run, what it really means to go off, and that it's okay to hunt polar bear and eat seal, wear seal, hunt seal. That's a hashtag, apparently.
Okay. Slide number 10, talk slow.
It's right there.
We think about all the kids from our community who are in care. I'm shaking and I'm nervous, so... who are in care on the island of Newfoundland, in Roddickton specifically. I'm so nervous, Kelly. They lost their language. I'm gonna cry. They lost their language, their connection to their land and culture, and their connection to their family, and that's not okay. And we wanna ensure our kids don't have to leave our region. I'm sorry, it's okay.
We think that starts with educating people in the Nunatsiavut government, and having a CYC program delivered like this lets us stay home while we are going to school and we are applying what we are learning right away. People in our community are curious and interested in what we are doing and already have questions.
And we'll be here all week.
This concludes this month's episode of CYC Podcast. Tune in next time for more discussions on child and youth care. Subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher. Visit us on our website at cycpodcast.org. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/cycpodcast.